things are due. To show up a little better than what it was.
Okay, what did most of the people do with the money they saved those days? Did they gamble it or send it back to China or put it in the bank or?
Well, most of the times they keep it. The Chinese are gamblers.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised at how many people that don't even put in the banks. They will bury it.
You mean they're buried in Chinatown?
Right, on the earth. And they would dig it up, and you see out to see the crockery, and the money is still as clean. How they preserve that money, nobody knows. The paper money will not get moisture or anything, and they don't even have plastic in those days. And yet they can make their dollar bill as new as ever.
Why was that the Chinese don't take money and put it in the bank like the Caucasians do?
Well, I guess if they'd have bankruptcy or something like that, they don't trust banks. Because the bank is using their money, and if they use that money, they won't get it back. In those days, they do that.
There was no Chinese bank at that time, huh?
No, just American banks.
Do you know of any Chinese that are involved in politics with China at that time? You know, like Sun Yat-sen, I guess that would be in the early 20s or 1910s.
Well, not in the United States there isn't, but maybe in China there is, but over here they don't pay politics. What kind of politics can they play in a foreign country like the United States? We don't even have representatives today to be in high office.
Did the Chinese feel they had an obligation in China during those times where they said, well, my family's in China, I gotta send money every month or so, or I guess support the relatives in China?
Yeah, they do that. They always send money back home, but who gets it, well, nobody knows. They can gamble it or whatever they want to, and the kids won't even know, the wife don't even know sometimes.
That's why
sending money back in China is a waste of time and money.
How did the Chinese get affected in the Depression here in Los Angeles? Do you remember that period? What were the Chinese doing during the Depression? Were they on bread lines?
Never were on bread lines, but they...
How they survive?
They do work in like I say, the labor jobs like that, but mostly Chinese provided for them in Chinatown. They have to wash dishes, and they work maybe 12 hours, 16 hours for a dollar, and they would do it just to survive, because they got their meals with it, but that's the only way they can survive, and buy clothes for some of the kids. Because the clothes are not as high as today, because you can get a pound of pork chop for 10 cents. Now, what do you pay for pork chop
when
today?
When was this? When was
this? This was in the 20s.
20s.
Yeah.
You
can buy 10 cents, and even 5 cents, you can get a spaghetti dinner for 5 cents, because I ate it before when I was a kid in this Italian place.
What about a hamburger and a hot dog? What does that cost? Do you remember?
As long as you have a penny, you'll get a lot of things in those days.
Okay, what about the price of Chinese food? If you went down to Chinatown, say in the 20s, do you remember any of that, what the cost would be?
Well, the cost won't be too much. During the 20s, I think you can get a bowl of noodles for about 10 cents, 15 cents the most, depending what the ingredients you got in it.
10 or 15 cents, you get a bowl of noodles.
A big bowl, not a little bowl like today. They're huge.
Well, what about in the 30s? Now, what is the price up to?
Well, during Depression time, they cannot afford that because money's tight, and a lot of banks is closed and like that, so you have a lot of difficulties there. But that's a changing point of the whole world at that time.
say the Chinese in Los Angeles in the 20s and 30s, were there much hostility toward them? Did you hear remarks about Chinese in Chinatown, or they're a bunch of crooks or so forth from Caucasians?
Well, you hear about gang wars or tong wars or whatever, but it doesn't jeopardize the American race or any other race. But they do have war among themselves, but it should bother any other Caucasian races at all. It's just among the Chinese, and it shouldn't bother anybody.
You ever see any tong war fightings? You ever see people shoot anybody?
Well, you hear them shooting, but I never seen anybody shot.
You hear the shots. What about gambling in Chinatown those days? Was Chinatown wide open, or?
Well, it's wide open, all right, but then, of course, they got the vice squad, and they kind of tapered down, because a lot of, in those days, when you gamble, just like in Vegas, they give you a free dinner and like this.
When's this, 20s or 30s?
This in the 20s.
Yeah.
And actually, you find out a Filipino don't have any money. They come down to Chinatown and eat, and you gamble, but they would accept them. But a lot of time when they overdo it, they have to chase them out. It actually for the customers and not for freeloaders.
Oh, in other words, they would come and gamble in this place, and mm-hmm. the gambling joint would feed them
right
for
at
that
certain
evening.
Time, right. For a certain time, when the food comes out at a certain time, well, they can eat with them. And it's free, and it's they have a lot of good food there, because a lot of times what they don't eat, well, I take it home.
Yeah. What about in the 30s? Was gambling still going full blast in the 30s?
Well, not full blast, but on the kind of vice squad then.
Oh, they had a vice squad that was raiding.
Mm-hmm. The vice squad started around the 20s, and it got worse in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. And they would raid Chinatown.
Oh yeah, they raid Chinatown in Japanese town, because they got Japanese.
What about house prostitution? You ever see any of those in Chinatown?
Well, they have them, not that many. They have quite a few of them. You will find that in the Pico House, they have more prostitutes there than any place in Los Angeles.
Caucasian or Chinese?
They're Caucasians,
mostly
not Chinese.
Caucasian.
There's no Chinese there at all.
Oh.
It's just about a block away from Chinatown.
Yeah. In other words, the whole building was what? The house of prostitution?
Mm-hmm.
And what about in Chinatown itself? You see any?
Well, these scaredies, they have one here, one there, and that's about all.
Operated with Chinese girls or Caucasian girls?
Chinese girls.
Chinese girls. And where do they come from? Do you know?
Oh, they white slavery.
Oh, white slavery? You mean they sneak them?
Yeah.
Sneak them into this country?
Bought them and make prostitute on them.
Alan, oftentimes I read or I hear that, the old Chinatown used to have tunnels underneath. Do you ever see any of those? They say in the cellar they're all honeycomb with tunnels. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I believe that is not true. I never seen any tunnels, but where the tunnels built, and I lived there most of my life, and I never seen a tunnel. And I'm one of these kids that, just like a cat, curious, and I will crawl in there. But I never seen any tunnels there. I don't know why people say there was tunnels there. I never.
Were the cellars ever connected together? When a guy breaks down.
Well, the cellar is just like any other cellar during those days in the 20s. Every house that you buy, you used to have a cellar. And those cellars is just like any American cellar like that. It's just like a wine cellar like that, and that's it. And maybe they smoke opium there and like that, but there's no tunnels. I've never seen any tunnels. I don't know what they can build the tunnels, because by golly, there's the street is in a slope like, and it's on the hill. Now, how are they going to build a tunnel without this hill and fall down on them? They'd crush them.
Were there any gang fights among the Chinese, even with the Japanese or Chicanos or Anglo? Did they ever have gang fights in Chinatown?
Well, during those days in about the 20s, there are a Italian area, just like in New York. This Italian is one area, and the Mexican one area, and the Chinese is right between the center of them. And we always have fights. They always come here and fight the Chinese because they don't like Chinese. And they just fight in the street, and they always come to Chinatown to fight. And generally, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but most of the time somehow it's broken up.
How many kids are you talking about involving? One or two, or are you talking about a dozen kids?
Dozen, it means, in fact, all the young kids are fighting. There'd be hundreds of them sometimes.
Just like fighting in the street?
Yeah, mobs. I won't say exactly say 100, but they're always say about 20 or 30. By the time you add up on both sides, it'd be about almost 100. You'd be surprised.
Do the cops come?
No. Just let us kill ourselves. It's none of their business, I guess. They're very some kind
what
of
they fight with? Just their fists?
Oh, they fight with fists. Sometimes they shoot guns at you, throw rocks, something like that.
Did anybody ever get hurt bad on the Chinese side?
Oh, they do. They do on both sides. But it's not that serious where it kills somebody. They do get injured. They go to hospitals.
When did that start dying out, though?
Oh, well, when this railroad coming into Union Station, and they taking all these area out, and then later on the post office, and they take it, so everybody had to move out. By those days, you know, then everybody moved out of Chinatown, except for what they have left now. Some of them is near Chinatown, but it's not original Chinatown.
So you're talking about there's gang fights until late 30s, huh?
Right.
When you're fighting, what do the Chinese do, say the older people? Do they just stand and watch? Who does the fighting? The kids fight, huh?
Yeah, just the kids fight, but they generally have a certain time that the Mexicans come over, they have nothing to do, so they come and fight us. And there's once a week, the Chinese is fighting somebody for defense. And because they're not going to tolerate a lot of abusement from any other race. So we have a fight about at least once a week. Sometimes twice a week. But it's something to keep us going and keep them being bored, I guess. I don't know, in those days, well, we just among ourselves and hear these other race come over and trying to take over, and we're not going to let them take over because we're pretty strong ourselves.
Have you ever heard the Chinese compare with the Jewish people in doing business? Have you ever heard people making comparisons and the Chinese are just like the Jewish people? You ever hear that remark?
Yes, I have heard a lot of times, and in a way, it's practically identical in a certain ways of thinking.
What's that, the family ties, or?
Well, it's money-wise, as usual, but the way they try to cut corners and make a sale or like that, you'll find the Chinese are very good at that. And sometimes they can they're more outspoken than the Jewish people, but the Turkish people can outspoken the Chinese. You may not believe it, but they're good business people. They can out-talk you. And any kind of a business problems, they have to cut corners for making big sales or making big contracts, whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm. How did the Chinese get around, say, in the 20s?
In the 20s, we used to have the streetcar used to be pulled by horses. And then later on the trolley cars come by, like in San Francisco. But when they had these little horses pulling these trolley cars, it's quite a thrill for us to ride on, because it only costs us a penny to ride on it. And you can ride all day on it for one penny. And once in a while, My father would take us for a ride on it because we like it. Even though he have a horse and buggy himself, we still like to ride on these trolleys.
And when did they go out? When did the trolleys leave?
PE came in, Pacific Electric, have these red cars, and this around the 30s when they have, even the 20s, they have these red cars come by and eliminate the horses. And then beside that, Alameda Street, the trains come by, so they kind of eliminate the trolleys with the horse pulling it. If you look back in the ancient days, in those days, you still see the horse and buggy pulling these little trolley cars.
The horse and buggy days, did the Chinese own the horses those days? Chinese own the horses?
You had to buy the horses yourselves.
They were owned by Chinese.
Yeah, but these trolley cars are owned by American people.
Yeah, I understand. But the horse and buggy, the Chinese actually own them?
Yeah, they have to buy their own horses.
They stable them and everything else.
They have their own stable down at the other end of where the Union Station is today, because there's a big stable there keep the horses.
You mean a Chinese stable?
No, it's run by American, but we consider it a Chinese stable. Some of the people live there also on top of the stable. They have little rooms there, and they have a bathroom somewhere around that building, and they take baths there.
Oh.
It's quite interesting to see it, but too bad we don't have pictures of it to show you the way the people live in those days, and yet they live happily and healthy as heck, more healthy than they are today.
What about Chinese fruit and vegetable peddlers? Do you remember seeing any of those in your youth?
Oh yeah, they peddle. There's hundreds of peddlers. They go from different areas, and you'd be surprised which area they go to peddle their vegetables.
They operate out of Chinatown?
Yeah, they're all out of Chinatown. They don't peddle in Chinatown. They're always in the American District. And people don't buy them, but they're trying to swindle them by cutting down their costs. But they have to get up by 3 o'clock in the morning or even earlier than that to buy their vegetables, and then they peddle it, and they don't come back till late at night. And they only sleep a few hours, and they have to go back to the market again. I kind of feel sorry for them because they work so hard for such small income. But that's the way the Chinese life was in those days. It's hardship.
Okay, these vegetable peddlers, when did they start going out of style?
Well, when these markets start to come in about the 30s, they got little grocery stores, from little grocery stores to bigger grocery stores and the supermarkets, that's why a lot of these little grocery stores today is all of business. They just for a small community, they can make it or go, but in the big community, well, the big companies are gonna run them out.
Oh, so they survive until sometime in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what part of the 30s?
Well, I was in the mid part, from about 35, because in 35 the depression is kind of slacked up, and business is getting better at that time.
Were there American peddlers, fruit and vegetable peddlers too?
Oh yeah, they are.
This is the end of tape one, side A of Alan Chan's interview.